Welcome to another installment of the Weird Pastor Kid Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Shelton Williams, here with Pastor Xavier Small. Over here, we got educator and activist Deshaun McKenzie here as well. And we're going to get into it, okay? Y'all want to know what does us at the Weird Pastor Kid, what do we think about this Roe v. Wade being overturned? Like, listen, we wanted to get it to you guys as soon as it happened. I had to be a family man. I forgot. I had a little vacation I had to run and do. I will also say this. Flying on a plane with a toddler is, woo, wow. Boy, you need strength. Strength from the Lord, okay? And to make it worse, okay, the airport broke our stroller. That's a whole nother situation. They broke our stroller. Can you imagine coming back? I'm getting ready. We're getting everything ready. And the wheel of our stroller is broken. And we go to see about putting a claim in. It's like, oh, yeah, baby items aren't covered.
That's crazy.
That's right. That's true. They're not.
Bro, do you understand? Like, I'm over here trying to be spiritual. And I'm like, but y'all broke our stroller. Anyways, needless to say, family man for the week. So many crazy things happened. That happened. We lost the keys to my car. We didn't know where. So a lot of crazy stuff. We'll talk about it another time. But Roe v. Wade was overturned. And Deshaun, man, we talked about this off camera before about, when first the leaked memo came out saying that, hey, this might be on the horizon, right? And Democrats was just either not believing it, not really doing anything about it, whatever. What were your initial thoughts when it finally became official that Roe v. Wade is overturned? Where was your emotions at?
I mean, I was upset and scared for people because, we know, there was something 20 to 25 states had, trigger laws on the books. So they were like, yo, as soon as Roe v. Wade is overturned in these states, abortion's illegal, outright.
Texas, Florida, done.
Florida had a law that was going to make it where you couldn't have abortion after 15 weeks. That was, their first step. They keep trying to roll it back. But, our state Supreme Court was no, chill out. We're not doing that. So we've seen a lot of state courts stopping stuff, which has been nice. But my initial reaction was just angry, but not shocked because they told us, but it was leaked a month ago this was going to happen. And then I looked at Democrats and I was like, they said, hey, hit you with a left hook. We're going to left jab, right hook. That's what's going to happen. And Democrats were nah, they won't do that. And they got punched twice. Yo, that's crazy. They really punched us. And it's because I don't want to get a super long-winded answer, but Roe v. Wade could have been made into federal law multiple times already. The Democrats had a super majority when Obama got elected because that whole Obama contingent was so big. They had a super majority in the House, the Senate, and the presidency. They could have on the first day of Obama's presidency been hey, we're gonna put a bill out. Roe v. Wade is now a law, federal law. It can't be changed. No overruling it. It's done. And they just didn't because they don't do anything. They don't do work.
So, okay, you hear this, and I'm actually going to talk about this a little bit more later in the episode, just talking about the difference between the Democrats and how they mobilize and how Republicans mobilize. We'll talk about that a little bit later, too. But listen, when Roe v. Wade happened on my timeline at my church, it was a big thing. Christians, I hate saying Catholics because Catholics consider themselves Christians. So I don't but you know what I mean? So many people in the religious communities when it comes to Christianity and everything of that sort were extremely excited. They were excited as Black people when they found out they were free. They were excited, bro. I'm talking about, they were excited. I seen videos of people in tears. It was a big thing. And I get it. Now, what was your, from your vantage point with Christians in your community, the people that you saw, Xavier, what was the reaction from Christians that you knew?
It actually was pretty mixed. Mm. I was expecting, especially being connected to a lot of what we call fundy people, I was expecting an overwhelming huzzah, you know what I'm saying? But nah, it actually was really mixed. And I think that's because anybody with common sense knows that even for a believer, and it's no secret that I'm pro-life, you know what I'm saying? That there's implications that come with this, right? And so for me, it was difficult. Like, I couldn't, like, celebrate. Like, I think I was in a state of shock when I saw it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had heard some things as well, but I'm like, all right, we'll see. And then when I actually got the notification to my phone, I was like, Roe v. Wade is overturned. I was like, wow. Like, in 2022? I was like,
yeah.
Really? I thought I'd never see the, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Never see the day. I mean, it's like, what, 50-something years old? 52?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm just kind of like, there's no way. You know what I'm saying? And I think I was just shocked above all else. Like, I definitely wasn't, like, jumping around, like, sharing stuff. I was just like, wow. Yeah. I didn't think I'd see the day. And just, again, like, knowing that there are a lot of states that were, like, I think the moment it got overturned, I think something like 14 states immediately were already, like, things were, I know Deshaun said it was something like 25 in total, but I think, yeah, like, immediately there were, like, 14 states that had already said, like, it's completely, like, we're done, you're done, like, mm-hmm, immediately. And, of course, like, we know, like, there's a lot of pushback now as far as, like, people being, different government parties being able to, like, overturn it on the state level and stuff like that, but it was mixed. It was a mixed, it was, you know, definitely a lot of believers being excited about being pro-life, but I know that a lot of Christians ain't really pro-life, and so I'm gonna leave that alone.
Yeah, hey, we're gonna talk about it a little bit.
A lot of Christians really ain't pro-life, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, if anybody follows me on social media, they some of my thoughts. Like, you know, I'm gonna call a spade a spade, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, even I know people will find, you know, faults in even my position on it, you know what I'm saying? Because pro-life and pro-choice would never really agree, you know, and I get that. Yeah. But, you know what I'm saying, tangible alternatives sometimes feel like a dream, you know what I'm saying, just because, just how historically, how things go.
Facts. So, facts.
It was a mixed audience for me.
Now, let's get into this. Now, I'm Deshaun, this is, the question's going towards you, right? But I think you'll understand where I'm coming from a little bit, but shouldn't Christians be excited though, Deshaun? I mean, shouldn't they be? Because since I was a kid, every conservative that I knew, I'm talking about when I was like 3-4 years old, they were telling me, hey, Lil OB, we gonna overturn Roe v. Wade, okay? So since I was like a kid, I heard them like, this what we finna do. Right? Like, this is their game plan from the beginning. So, and that's the main reason why they vote. They vote one way where they're like, oh, you pro-life? Okay, boom, I'm gonna vote for you. Oh, you know, I'm gonna put my money toward this political candidate. I'm gonna do these things because in their mindset, they're like, you're gonna help us overturn Roe v. Wade, right? So it was finally overturned. And I'm gonna say this, conservatives did it the right way. It wasn't no backdoor deals, ain't no this or that. It, for the most part, they handled it the quote-unquote right way.
That's giving them a lot.
I'm being for real when it comes to this.
I understand, but like, they did a lot of blocking of Supreme Court justices prior to Trump presidency.
Yeah, that's true. But it wasn't like when I say, what I mean by this is saying like, they went by it the quote unquote right way. Like, and I was gonna talk about it. I was gonna talk about this a little bit later.
That's just not true though.
Okay, go ahead. I see what you're saying. You're trying to say like they didn't let Obama.
They lied a bunch. One, they explicitly stopped Obama from appointing people, true, said we can't have a lame duck president do it, then had Trump do it anyway. The people who overturned Roe v. Wade, who were Supreme Court justices, explicitly said under oath that they would not overturn Roe v. Wade, that is precedent and they're not going to overturn it, then did it anyway. There's a lot of lying. Like, they might not have been behind back door, but they lied a lot.
Yeah. There's a lot of lying. I ain't even going to pretend like there wasn't no lying going on.
Yeah,
I feel like both parties been blocking each other for ages though. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying that they both do it.
Democrats didn't block Kavanaugh, but Republicans did explicitly block Merrick Garland.
See, y'all gonna make me say something. I ain't wanted to say this yet. I was gonna get to it.
Democrats,
nobody blocked Donald Trump from being president. Like, what y'all could have done was the same way that y'all rallied behind Joe Biden to get Donald Trump out of office. Y'all could have rallied behind Hillary Clinton. I was going to talk about this a little bit later. I'm going to talk about this here. Because if Hillary Clinton was president, Roe v. Wade wouldn't have been overturned this year. I mean, Is that correct, Deshaun?
Sheldon, you are correct, but that's not what we're talking about. I'm about presidential elections. I'm talking about the Senate and the Democratic processes to get Supreme Court justices up. Giving Republicans too much credit, is all I'm saying.
I'm not giving them too much. How many Christians and conservatives you know that have one thing they vote for? Well, really two.
I don't disagree with, we're not talking about voting though. I'm talking about, you're saying that they did it without breaking the rules or did it the right way. And I'm saying, no, they didn't. Because they lied and explicitly blocked Obama from appointing people. So that's not true. You can say that they voted Republicans in and Donald Trump waited for the right time for Ruth Bader Ginsburg to die and replace her with a conservative. That happened, yeah, sure.
But
the appointed lied under oath saying that he wouldn't overturn Roe v. Wade.
Come on, we knew they was lying? Listen, but bro.
That's part of the rules, is lying under oath? That's part of the rules?
Yes, bro, all these jokers be lying.
All right.
Let's be honest. Okay, look.
Understanding that people lie in politics is not the same as saying that they're playing by the rules when they lie. Those are two different things. I agree with you that we know people lie and that they were lying. But you saying that they're playing by the rules and did it the right way when knowing lying.
Okay, so let me reverse it then. Nothing they did was illegal.
Sure. I mean,
Obi, no.
I'm just being honest. I'll say it like this. The same things that Donald Trump did to get those three, because he got three justices on the Supreme Court.
Hey, Deshaun, Shelton gave you the tallest fan lovers in the world.
One, two, three. The Democrats could have voted Hillary Clinton in to get three justices in and would have made sure that Roe v. Wade wasn't overturned. Is that correct or wrong?
I mean, it's correct technically, sure. Like, Hillary lost an election, then Republicans did a bunch of shady, backhanded, under table things to then pack the court. We both can be true. Democrats ran a terrible candidate in 2016. Hillary Clinton was trash. I voted for her reluctantly. Nobody wanted to vote for her.
Yes.
That is true. And Republicans are shady and did a bunch of backhanded, undermining things. Both can be true. I'm not even a Democrat. I'm just saying, call it what it is. So we can be honest about what happened.
No, we can be honest that our political system is trash.
Correct.
But the Republicans play by the dirty, trash political game.
Democrats are
and weak. They got their solution. That's it.
I'm not agreeing with you about that.
You know, this
all started because you said that they did it the right way. If you don't say that statement, everything else you're saying, I agree with.
Okay. Let me retract that then. They didn't do it the right way. They did it the political way.
Sure. Yeah.
They did the political way that the Democrats could have done too.
Yeah, because Democrats, like I hate Democrats. This is not like, I'm not gonna, I hate them too.
I'm just being honest.
For the Republicans.
Like, for example, AOC could at any time lied her way to do X, Y, and Z, and then when she gets power, actually do what she's supposed to be up there doing.
I mean, she's in the House, so she really can't do anything. The House voted for the Women's Health Protection.
You're right. But in general, I'm saying, like, a lot of these Democrats, they could have all been, like, hiding underneath the Democrats. Hey, I'm a corporate Democrat. But then when they get in, actually do some things to help the American people. They could do that.
Yeah, but they won't, because Democrats don't want to. I don't like Democrats. They don't want to do that.
They don't want. That's the thing. That's the difference. Democrats don't actually want to do anything. Republicans actually are willing to do stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
shady stuff.
Republicans are also really good at rallying their base because it's super easy to be oppositional. Like, what do Republicans don't stand for anything. They stand against things. That's the easiest position to have. It's to be like, we hate this and we disagree with that. Because then everyone on your side does not have to agree with all the things you disagree with. They just need one. Like you said, a bunch of Christians vote for, they will call Donald Trump a terrible sexist or rapist, da, 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 but he's pro-life, and that's the thing we care about. Okay. So if you run your party on opposition, it's genius. I'm not disagreeing with that. They run on opposition. All you need to get, you get people who hate Black people. They're going to vote for you, even if they agree about other stuff. You get people who hate abortion rights. They're going to vote. It's an easy game. You just get a bunch of people who hate things, and then they all vote for you.
See, you right. jumped into something I was trying to get into. So let's jump into it now. I'm gonna ask you this, Xavier. Christians in 2016, all on my timeline. All on my timeline, even when I spoke with them, said, I'm voting for Donald Trump for two reasons. Roe v. Wade, he's going to elect Supreme Court justices that are going to hopefully overturn Roe v. Wade. That's literally what they said. And two, they said because, you know, Mike Pence, I'm really voting for Mike Pence. I think Mike Pence will do the thing, right? And we know how that relationship ended up. But so let me ask you this, Xavier. Voting in a racist, sexist, misogynistic president, but you get Roe v. Wade overturned. Does the end justify the means? Should Christians feel excited?
That question ain't fair. Creepy Joe's in office. Joe was in office right now. I watched an 11-minute montage. I can send anybody who listens to, I can send anyone who listens to this podcast the link. An 11-minute montage of him inappropriately touching underage girls. I can send it to you.
Okay, we're not gonna go and say but Chicago, this conversation. We're talking about Donald Trump.
I'm about to answer your question. You did the same thing to Deshaun just now.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Thank you. You did the same thing to him. He literally said, we're not talking about elections, and you still did it. So don't do that to me. Okay, I'm saying this. Not that doing that is right. I'm saying it's the nature of the beast. To be able to pull somebody in that's not going to have really weird or perverse morals or whatever. I feel like at this point, like name me someone that we've had in recent years that hasn't had some kind of really weird or gross scandal. I think it's easy to demonize Donald Trump because he was vocal about it all. He didn't care about being sexist. He didn't care about being racist. He didn't care about, because he funded his own campaign. He didn't care. So it's easy to demonize him. Just like, honestly, if we talk about Christians, it's really easy to demonize the LGBTQ community because they're vocal about their sin. It's easy to shoot the dog that's hollering. You know what I'm saying? And so we can't, I'm going to say that. No, the end does not justify the means. If he's this nasty, immoral person, then he shouldn't get voted in. But if we really want to dig up everybody's past, you know what I'm saying, the last several candidates / president, whatever, you're going to find a bunch of really awful stuff because all of these dogs are dirty. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I'm saying if we're going to say that, you can't, I mean, we want to talk about Hillary Clinton's body bag list. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, okay.
You know okay. what I'm saying? I'm not saying to justify it. I'm saying that no, the direct answer to your question is no, it is not justify it, but name me a candidate that's been voted in that didn't have a pass or have personality traits that were, the Obamas were very classy. You know what I'm saying? But
Harry's pretty Obamas,
yeah, they're very classy, but we also know that Obama was a pawn. You know what I'm saying? Very clear pawn. And so I think it's the nature of the beast. You know what I'm saying? I think our next presidential candidates are going to be the same thing. Just remember I said that. So the end does not justify the means, but you could say the same thing again for Creepy Joe. We got Joe over Biden. I mean, we got Joe over the Republican Party. Great. But look at his track record. Look at his past. Look at the things he's involved in. Did the ends justify the means? I mean, granted, Creepy Joe ain't really doing jack. But I'm just saying. Okay.
All right, so let's go into this because I want
to call the kettle black.
I want to dive into this a little bit. So Deshaun, right? Would you vote for a candidate, right, who is, let's say, sexist, misogynistic, but he has policies that you believe he's gonna, you know, put forth? He's gonna go for universal health care. He's gonna go for, I don't know, no homes. Would you be willing to bypass some of the outward?
Is he a Democrat? Actions?
Yes, say he, yeah. Let's say he's a Democrat.
We're talking about like in reality, like Democrats versus Republicans.
Yeah,
because
Party can't
win elections. We know that. Like I'm talking about in reality.
Yeah, in reality. Because come on, we know. Listen, I know you. What your candidacy is, but they ain't gonna win anytime soon.
Yeah, no, I'm not voting for that person. But I don't vote. I'm not voting for Democrats in general. Like, I vote, like, for national elections, I voted for PSL because we're not trying to win the election. We're trying to get the platform in front of people. Like, when Gloria Larriva, like, she did tours all around the country. She went to small cities and stuff. We're trying to get the socialist platform in front of people. We're not trying to win the election. We know we're not winning the election. It's crazy. There's two giant corporate machines that are backed by billions of dollars. We're not beating them. That's not realistic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't vote for Joe Biden when he promised that he was going to cancel student loan debt, and he promised that we were going to work on healthcare.
He didn't really promise that, if we're going to be honest, but he just kind of teased it. I don't think it wasn't him that literally said I was going to do this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Democrats as a party have made, like, these kind of promises. Last thing is, I wouldn't vote for them for those things because I don't believe them. Like, that's the difference. Like, Trump, I mean, and also Trump didn't do most of the stuff he told conservatives he would do. Roe v. Wade just was like a byproduct of him being in office when Supreme Court justices stepped down and died. Like,
yeah.
That was just the best timing of all time for Donald Trump. Like, that was incredible time. Ruth Bader Ginsburg could have stepped down when Obama was president and have.
Come on. And we'll be honest, it's her fault too.
Yeah, that was her fault. So it's like, people who voted for Trump for Roe v. Wade specifically, you got your end out of it. But, like, if he promised you anything else, he lied too. Like, they're all lying. So I would not vote for, like, a terrible person for my ends, but that's only because I know my ends aren't happening in the American capitalist system. Like, they're not going to guarantee homes to every American. They're just not going to do that. That's not profitable.
It's just thinking out loud. But what if they did? Would that change your answer?
They would have to do one of those things first before I even considered it. But again, I don't believe that they will. Like, if we're talking in, like, reality, they're not going to. Because all the things
hypothetics.
That
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically, if they were if a communist candidate was going to undermine the imperialist capitalist machine, but he was a racist, then yes, I would elect him. But that's not going to happen. Okay.
So the essential question I'm asking is, should we ever vote? Should we vote policy over person?
I'm a wrong person to ask because I don't vote for Democrats or Republicans at this stage of my life. So, like, I'm a bad person to ask that. I'm sure a Democrat will tell you yes, like a Republican will tell you yes. That's why I don't throw shade at Republicans for voting. Trump was the worst human being I've ever seen run for president. But like Xavier said, Joe Biden's also a bad person. Joe Biden is the reason that Black people all over the country have criminal records and are still in prison. Like, all these people are bad people. They're all complicit in the system.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a question, too, I've always wondered, because Joe Biden, they call him Creepy Joe because he does... Because he really close to women and girls, da 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 da. But it's never really, wait, never mind, I can't say that. I was going to say it's never really been an accusation, but during the presidential campaign, someone did say Joe Biden may have molested them or raped them, right, or something of that sort. So let me back up on that a little bit. But what I was going to say is, like, he's not like an outwardly, Joe Biden was never like an outwardly disgusting human being. Like, he was, if he did stuff, it was mostly behind closed doors. We didn't know about it. Trump was more like, this is who I am, y'all. Like me, love me, you know, whatever. This is who I am. He put his personality out there. That might be a little bit different, but at the same time, like, Joe Biden did things to, okay, I'll say it like this. Trump may have done things to hurt you in the moment or say things that may have offended you in the moment. Joe Biden has done things politically that we're still feeling the effects of today. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like, you know, a dad who cusses you out every day versus that's not bad, that's a bad example. But I was, you know, that's because, again, that'll still hurt you too. Dad cusses you out every day, you're gonna be going to therapy for that probably to this day. But in general, I'm just saying, like, what do we get to the point to where are we more mad at Donald Trump for things he said over mad about the things that Joe Biden did policy-wise that impacted, like, communities?
I don't know. I think you can be mad at more than one thing at a time, because the things that Donald Trump said have also emboldened a lot of, like, white supremacist violence. So, like, it's not just him saying racist things, like, and it's like, oh, he said some wild stuff today. Like, there's people who have, like, shot up schools and stuff, and they explicitly in their manifestos credit Trump. They're like, yeah, Trump said, like, he made me feel, like, proud to be white, and that, like, you know. So you can't, his stuff is not in a vacuum. It exists in reality. And in reality, he caused a lot of harm also in the immediate that it wasn't. I think people want to boil it down to, like, well, he hurts people's feelings until he says what he thinks. No, he also, like, as the president, you embolden a culture And he's emboldened a lot of like white supremacist and like misogynistic violence and like anti-LGBTQ violence. Like, so that is a factor also. But like I said, you can be mad at more than one thing, because Joe Biden also has like explicitly hurt Black and brown communities over decades, explicitly hurt LGBTQ communities with policy. So again, like I'm like, they're equal to me, they're equally bad. But like I said, that's not the answer anybody wants to hear, because everybody wants you to pick a team. But it's like, no, yeah. they're all.
Yeah, honestly, like I don't think, and this is the thing when I'm thinking about like voting in general, and I would just a lot of times I'm just saying these questions just to provoke thought. I'm not really either way, but I do want like to think is like, okay, when you vote, maybe you should vote more policy over the person. But then it makes me think like I'm pretty much very much anti. I'm anti R. Kelly. I've been anti R. Kelly for like 10 years, 10 to 15 years before the documentary came out. I don't want to hear nothing. I don't hear a note he's saying. I just don't want to hear him on a song, right? Me and my wife were dating, she was all like trying to listen to his Christmas album. And I'm like, nah, I don't listen to nothing from him. Like even, and then when the documentary came out, she's, oh, I probably should stop, not listen. I said, bro, I was anti him before this documentary came out. That joke was nasty. I can't separate the music from the artist. I couldn't do that, right? And it's hard for me now to separate, like, when someone is outwardly a disgusting human being to, like, for example, like, Clarence Thomas, I'm sorry, man. It's hard for me, like, listen, I know we're supposed to, I love him and stuff. That's an odd dude, man. That's an odd person, okay? Herschel Walker is another dude, another brother, odd person, okay? It's hard for me from sometimes to separate some of these things that these people say and do outwardly to like some policies that I might agree with them on. It's hard for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Republican playbook is, it's not gonna stray from this for a while, because it worked overwhelmingly. Like Trump lost in 2020, but he also had like the second most votes of any candidate in history. Like 78 million people voted for him. He only lost because he was also painted as the greatest villain of our lifetime, which was also not true. So Joe Biden, you know, won, but it was still close. It's not like Joe Biden destroyed him. And Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton had more popular votes, but he won the Electoral College, which is its own issue. But yeah, so it's like, I don't like Ron DeSantis is the governor of Florida right now. He's going to run for president if Trump doesn't in 2024.
I think they both will. And I would love it. I want to see them two go at it.
Because Ron DeSantis, so he's not Trump level bad. He's not Herschel Walker, like where he's crazy, but he's like pretty outwardly racist and bigoted. Like he says a lot of wild stuff. And I'm just like, yo, this guy like decides the curriculum for this, like what I teach at school. Like that's crazy. I hope he runs for president so that he doesn't run for governor again. But you know, it's its own issue, because at least that'll fix my life.
Yeah, he's gonna be president. I'm almost 100% sure he'll be president.
And if he's president, like, and I mean this with like, I hate when people use hyperbole with politics. Like Trump is the greatest enemy to democracy. Oh, no, he wasn't. Like Joe Biden, like Hillary Clinton is responsible for the murders. No, she's not. Like we're using a lot of hyperbole. I think if Ron DeSantis becomes president, like legitimately, like we're actually like taking a dark step towards fascism in a way that like that's gonna get real weird, because he'd be rocking with like Proud Boys and stuff and like legit supremacist groups. That's so dangerous. But he's gonna be pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
But he's gonna be anti-LGBTQ, and people are gonna vote for him because he hits whatever thing they care about. And I'm not mad at those people, because I'm not mad at conservatives. You know what I mean? Like, those are also working class people. They're all working class liberals and conservatives are all being deceived by the same group of rich people. But it's going to be ugly.
Well, see, that's the issue that I feel I feel like whenever liberals lose an election, or liberals lose like how they lost it with Roe v. Wade, they now want to change the rules, right? And the reason why I say that is because now they say, oh, we need to pack the court. We need to make sure that we eliminate the filibuster. We need to do, now eliminate filibuster, I'm for, but at the same time, you're only for it because you're losing, you know what I mean? In certain categories, yeah. Like, I mean, and that's the issue that I have with the Democratic Party. It's like, oh, when we lose, it's time to like, let's change some rules now.
I mean, that's it's not significantly different to me. And again, this is not me like defending them. It's not significantly different than like who's the Republican who like looks like a turtle, McConnell.
Oh my goodness!
look up a picture of Franklin. That's his arm. Look up McConnell. He looks like a turtle. It is what it is. I'm sorry, but it's not significantly different to me than when he's like, "We a lame duck president can't put a Supreme Court justice in, except when it's time for us to do it." Then it's like, "No, a Supreme Court justice can." Now that's not the rules, but he's like setting precedent that he believe that he's saying makes sense, and people are like, "No, that does make sense." And then when it's time for them to do it, it's like, "No, never mind. Just kidding. That wasn't the rules." So it's like Republicans also change the rules when it's convenient. Like I said, they're all playing the same political game, while working class people are like hurting. Like this abortion thing, like Democrats are using it as a bargaining chip. They're like, if you vote for us in the midterms, we'll get the Women's Health Protection Act passed. And it's like, yo, women are gonna die right now. Like Joe Biden could protect abortion on federal property right now. Mm-hmm. He could sign an executive order that on all federal hospitals, which includes like the VAs, which like for Pensacola would include the Navy base hospital or the Air Force base hospital, that would include all that land, can be legal there, which would, because it's not considered state land.
You know who came up with that idea? Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, who should have been the candidate.
And that's another thing too, is I felt like Elizabeth Warren was presented as a joke, like because of that, what is it? She said she was Native American That became a bigger deal than like some of her ideas were actually like spot on.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It was sad for her, to be honest. I feel bad.
Yeah, but like Joe Biden is using abortion as a political bargaining chip right now. Like if you vote for us in the midterms, we'll do this, I promise. In the meantime, like women are gonna die today. Like that's gonna happen. Cause like for a certain, like a lot of states, like in Texas, it's like, no abortion under any circumstances. Like if a woman has like, I forgot the term, it's like an endo something pregnancy where like basically the egg gets fertilized in the wrong part of your body, you'll die. Like it's 100% chance you will die. You have to have an abortion. That's the medical procedure to resolve that medical issue. And if you live in a state where you can't access abortion, or you live here in Florida where you can get them legally, but we don't have an abortion clinic within hours. And then you got to pay X amount of dollars to get access to, you know, it's all process past just mm-hmm. if that's the case, you live here, you can die.
Yeah.
And there will be people who die. And we as Democrats are bargaining for our rights.
I was just looking this up and we're not going to have time tonight. Cause what I was going to do tonight as well is I want you, everyone who's listening, to Google the countries with the best healthcare. What I ended up doing was I wanted to get like a more holistic view of abortion. I think sometimes when we look at abortion, we only want to look at it through the lens of the country that we live in, right? The United States. When you start looking at it throughout the world, it is a very controversial topic. Every country has a different, you know, thing that they do. They may allow abortion, but only up to a certain amount of weeks, or they may allow this or that. So every country is a little bit different. So it's not like this is only America has this thing that they're fighting. All around the world, people are fighting these particular things. But what I decided to do was to take the countries with the best healthcare and also compare that also with their healthcare system. Compare that with their abortion laws. So when you start looking at that, and also comparing that with their childcare expenses and comparing that with all those things, and we won't be able to get into it today, was to see how countries view certain things. Like the number one country in the world for healthcare is actually South Korea, right? South Korea has the best healthcare, you know, is rated as the best healthcare in the entire world, okay, is South Korea, boom. One thing about South Korea though is a lot of it is one, universally, a lot of the country, the government pays for the healthcare. Most of it is paid for by the healthcare system. And also they have a lot of different things that they do. You can look it up. There's other things. I don't want to get into it now. Taiwan's another one with a really good healthcare system. And then you begin to look at them, their abortion things, their how they treat families, different things of that nature. I want you to do like a diagram, a Venn diagram of that. Look those things up and begin to see what in America can we do that can be beneficial for these women who are thinking about having abortions. Like if we're going to live in a country where abortion is illegal, right? Shouldn't there be family policies in place that can help with the cost of having a child? Because if we're going to be honest, a lot of people who don't have children, or either they are just, are you dumb? Having a child is expensive. I don't care. I don't care what you say. I don't care if you have health care. I don't care if you don't have health care. I don't care if, I don't care how rich you are. Having a child is expensive, right? Now, a lot of times, this is what I find a lot interesting is, when I was presenting recently, I presented some ideas the government can do to help women or help people in general when it comes to now that abortion is illegal. One question I got was, how are we going to pay for this, right? Which, I'm going to say this. I'm not trying to be cruel. Christians that are listening, do not think I'm trying to be mean or cruel, right? But with abortion being illegal, I'm trying to watch my words. With abortion being illegal, you do know that these children that are going to be born into the world are actually going to cost the government money. More money than if they had, I'm sorry, I don't want to be mean, but if these people ain't having, listen, it's cheaper to have an abortion than having a kid, okay? That's all I'm going to say on that. I ain't trying to be mean, cruel, or whatever, but it's the truth. So because these children are going to be born into the world, it's a good chance that most of it's going to impact the United States economy. One straight, it's going to cost some more money, okay? So because of that, you have to be mindful of, okay, we just overturned Roe v. Wade. It's going to cost America some more money. What are you going to do? Okay. What are some things that we're going to do that can help the government, but also at the same time, help the child, the person who is having this child that they weren't prepared to have. Okay. And that's the nicest way I can put that. Okay. Now, Deshaun, when you think about these women who are facing these very hard choices, right? And now they're forced to have a child that maybe they weren't prepared for, they didn't want. What do you think would be the best thing that the United States could do to help these women when they're facing these very tough decisions?
The quote unrealistic answer would be overturn the capitalist imperialist system that we operate under, because all the this is like people who are listening to this who are like religious or like conservatives, you're going to be mad at me using these terms, but like these are like Lenin, like Marxist Leninist terminology. Like, we talk a lot about contradictions in my circles. The contradictions of capitalism are very clear to people. Like, people see like capitalism says this, but reality is this. It's actually one of my favorite Che Guevara quotes, is like, it's not my fault that reality is Marxist. Like, because a Marxist Leninist approach to the world is viewing things through the economic contradictions. You can't be anti-abortion and also anti-government funded healthcare. You can't be anti-abortion and also be anti-government funded schools. It doesn't fundamentally work. That system does not work. But that's what's gonna happen. Because even liberals don't want to like pay more in taxes. You know what I mean? Like, when Bernie Sanders ran, and Bernie's not a perfect, so he's not like a socialist dream candidate. Don't get me wrong, but he has a bunch of issues that I disagree with him on, because he's a democratic socialist. He's not a Marxist Leninist like I am. When Bernie ran in 2020, like in the primaries, when he was explaining how government-funded healthcare would be cheaper for the taxpayer than private healthcare, he was like, "You're gonna pay more in taxes, but you won't be like, if you ever look at your paycheck and look how much comes out for healthcare, it's gonna be a net positive for you. The amount you pay more in taxes will be offset by the amount you're not paying in healthcare." And Joe Biden would literally just be like, "No, that doesn't make sense," with no statistics for how it doesn't make sense. Because a for-profit healthcare system is profitable, and the people who give Joe Biden money, who donate him, who lobby to him, and lobby to Democrats, want a for-profit system. So, like, what America could do is have a not-for-profit healthcare system, a not-for-profit education system, a not-for-profit daycare system, universal VPK. There's paid family leave for like mothers and fathers. There's all kinds of things we could do that even non-social, like, I'm not talking about like radical leftist socialist communist countries do, just like countries that are capitalist but not America do. You know what I mean? Like Canada does, like countries in Europe do. But America is like capitalism at its purest form that exists in the world. Like, it's profit over everything, always profit over everything. So that means we will not have over there, like, it's literally been, how long has Obamacare been? Like, that was 15 years ago?
I think so, 15? Yeah.
15 years and we still don't have a public option. I can't buy into Obamacare. Still, to this day. Like, 15 years ago, we were talking about housing issues for decades now. There's more houses than there is people in the United States. people will be like, well, it's a scarcity of housing. No, the scarcity is that some people own more houses than they need. Like Atlanta just passed a law that like you can't own more than two properties in the city limits. And you have to live in the city to own a second one. That means you can't, I mean, a company or a group of people can't come in and buy up 15 houses and turn them into Airbnbs, which creates a scarcity that doesn't exist and then causes rents to go up. Like there's things that we can do to intervene, but like profit is over everything. So I don't, you know what I mean? Like there's all these solutions, but are they profitable? And if the answer is no, it's like a flow chart. Like, should America do this? Yes. Is it profitable? No. Okay, we're not going to do it. Like that's the end of the flow chart. Because it's about money. And like that abortion rights, to me, like, and this is the thing we've said a lot in like rallies, it's not about Christians versus non-Christians. That's a fallacy. Because over, I think it was like 60 something percent of Americans support the right to access to abortion. They may not be pro-choice themselves, like they would not personally have one, but they support the right to, for others to have them. For over 60% of Americans to think anything in a country that's majority Christian, there has to be Christians who agree with us. Now, right-wing Christians are the loudest, so we don't see those Christians, but there are liberal Christians, there are liberal churches. I've been to them, like they're all over the place. So like, it's not like Christians versus non-Christians or whatever, because there's people on the left who want like, we need to boycott churches, protest in front of them. I'm like, those people are just working class people like you, bro. It's not you, it's not them. It's these people at the top who own everything. That's who's making these decisions. They're not making them in the religious interests. Clarence Thomas might be a right-wing religious nut, but everybody on that Supreme Court is not a right-wing religious nut. They're making decisions in the interest of profits. So like, what could America do to answer the question? Like I said, healthcare, universal pre-K, access to affordable housing, laws that prohibit excess wealth hoarding and all that stuff, but we're not going to do them because they're not profitable. Democrats will not do them and Republicans will not do them. And if they tell you they will, they're lying to you.
Facts. Okay. So man, there's so many, you said so many good things, but I want to go to Xavier with this, right? Now, I'm going to hit you with it kind of in a more of a spiritual way. I think living in this country, sadly, because we do live in a capitalistic environment and society, we tend to view children as, the Bible says that children are a blessing from the Lord, right? But inflation is high. So let me ask you, a lot of times, you know, you view a baby as a lot of times in this society, you view babies as a hindrance, as, you know, as like I mentioned, they are expensive, right? And so how can you get to the point of helping women who, you know, they have a very tough decision to make, right? Or some of them are very upset over this ruling, like they had plans to have an abortion. They had an appointment date to set it up only for their abortion clinic to call them and say, hey, can't have no abortion no more. All right. We don't want to get arrested. We don't want to get arrested for this. Right. So what do you say to those women they can see the value of their child, but also at the same time, what can churches do? Because you mentioned it previously, what can churches do to help those women who are feeling overwhelmed?
I don't really know what you could say to them specifically. You know what I'm saying? Like they were going to like make a choice. I mean, think about that. Whenever like you're upset and someone tries to be like encouraging to you, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times you don't want to hear none of that. You know what I'm saying? If I lost on 2K, but I'm about to go get a smoothie, like I don't care. Like, you know what I'm saying? I lost. It's like, I mean, I'm not trying to be flippant. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's just like whenever someone's in a state where they're upset, they don't want to hear none of that.
Okay. Pause for one second. Do y'all two play 2K?
Yeah.
You play 2K? I did, yeah. Y'all play 2K? Yeah. Uh-huh. What systems y'all play on?
PS4.
Oh, so we can actually play? Okay. Cool. All right. Never mind. Keep going. I never thought about this.
Oh, you know, Xavier is great and I am not great. I'm telling you that now. I want that on the record.
This is not Smokey One. I'll play you, but this is not Smokey One.
No, trust me. I'm not good. I'm not good at all. So I just.
Well, I mean, ever since I got close to graduation and stuff, I haven't played 2K in like 6 weeks anyway. So.
Oh, okay.
But you still don't want the smoke.
Sorry. Anyway, keep it going. Sorry.
There's not much you can say now. I did have this conversation because I saw someone's post on their Instagram story. I really liked it. I said that our society has failed women into thinking that abortion is their only choice. You know what I'm saying? Now, of course, this is abstract to the conversation on women's rights, their bodies, etc. Not necessarily talking about that per se, but just like as a society, like whenever someone's thinking like, oh man, I got pregnant and I don't want to, what is the first thoughts they're going to have is, can I afford this kid? Whether it be monetarily or lifestyle or whatever. And if I can't, what's my option? Get an abortion. Right? And so that's usually how that goes, because everyone knows that the foster care system is trash. Adoption stuff is trash. You know what I'm saying? All those different stuff. There's resources are trash. You know what I'm saying? Even with Medicaid, it's difficult. Like, we've had, transparently, we had Medicaid when we were in Orlando, and we've tried to help other people get on Medicaid, and you got to make a ridiculously low amount of money in order for you to even get on. Like, it's not even fair. You're like, people, so people, all people who complain about government assistance don't even recognize how difficult it actually is to get government assistance. But those are your upper middle class to upper class citizens that have their heads too high in the clouds, that they don't know what's going on the ground level. There's nothing that you can really say. You know what I'm saying? I think there's nothing that you really could say to encourage someone at that point when they were just thinking, you know what I'm saying, that this is what they were going to go with it, and now that choice has been taken away. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's difficult. I think your second choice is, your second question was about the churches.
Yeah.
I really think someone, I was talking to someone because our church right now is in the process of putting together some stuff to help out. Like, I mean, Maryland is one of those states where they're not gonna go down without a fight, as far as this abortion stuff goes, but just preventative maintenance, trying to be a resource to help women in need. But being able to rally around them with resources. I mean, if they're gonna have to have the kid, and that's what I brought to some of my church leadership. I was like, if we're gonna be anti-abortion, we got to make sure that we don't just say a whole bunch of stuff, but that we are doing something. So actually right now we have this thing coming up in a couple of weeks called Love Works Week. And one of the things is, like, every day there's a ministry opportunity. And one of the things is we're collecting a bunch of resources for a resource center to aid women who have needs, whether it be formula, diapers, wipes, clothes, baby furniture, different stuff like that, monetary gifts, whatever. And I think that's a lot of what the church is going to have to do. Is really, someone made a good point though. It's like, because even in our church, I wouldn't say is a mega church, but it's pretty big. But there's a lot of people who can't have children who would love to adopt, but the process is really grueling and it's really expensive. Being able to partner with agencies to say, hey, we'll fast track members who come through your church, you know what I'm saying, that have a healthy screening process to fast track them toward adoption or fostering. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. To help alleviate some of these different things. And so I think just being able to be available to present some options is a good way for the church to be able to really get involved. You can't just, again, you can't be pro-life and then not be pro-life.
Gotcha.
Yay, she had the kid. Now the kid's starved to death. Like, that's backwards.
I'm going to say, you know, something that might be a little nasty, but let's just be honest. Some of y'all dudes need to stop having unprotected sex with women and being surprised they get pregnant. Okay? I'm gonna be honest with y'all. Some of y'all just act like y'all don't understand how this works. I'm gonna be real with y'all. It's too many of y'all dudes who are having unprotected sex with women, and a lot of times y'all pressuring the women, saying stuff like, oh, I don't like how sex feels like with a condom. And y'all are sitting here and y'all, she pregnant. And now you have an unwanted child in here because you were wilding.
People are gonna approach that and say that's neither here nor there, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you get to the point where, like, even my wife and I were talking about this, like, telling people who don't have sex. I know that's not what you said.
I ain't saying that at all. But I understand what you're saying too. I think I'm not trying to say that we're going to. I don't want to go like saying that, okay, now she's pregnant, now we're going back and say, well, you shouldn't have done it. But I'm just saying that now there's a lot of people out here. We live in a sexy society. We live in a society that is for some reason they act surprised when this stuff happens.
I mean, I had that conversation with my cousin. He's not religious at all, but he said he was like anti-abortion because, and this has never happened to him. I feel like this is a very like man online thing. Dudes will say like, well, what happens if like, I want to have the kid and she don't. And I'm like, find me five dudes right now who in real life wanted the kid and she didn't. Cause that is such a rare scenario. Too many niggas growing up without dads for that to be true. That's just, they're saying, but even if that is true, and I was like, look, as someone who has been not married, been having sex for years now with various levels of protection, because there's other protection besides condoms. There's birth control. There's vasectomies. There's, you know what? I'm going to be kind to your audience. There's methods even while you're having sex to not, you know, what I mean.
Yeah, it's even that don't work. But go ahead.
It's not all the time. Nothing's 100% effective. Like, honestly. I had that conversation because my cousin was like, well, what if like a dude wants to have a kid and she don't? And like, and she chooses to have an abortion. I'm like, well, yeah, she has that choice. And he's like, well, what about my choice? I'm like, your choice was when you chose to try to have unprotected sex with somebody that you did or did not want a kid with. Because it goes the other way also. Dudes all the time will be like, man, I don't want the kid, but she does. You have the choice. Your choice with your body was when you chose to have unprotected sex, to not ask if she was on birth control, to not make a plan, to not have a conversation. Because I promise you, if me and a girl have ever been having sex unprotected, we've had conversations about, is she on birth control? Do you want to have a kid? What would happen if you get pregnant? And if we are not in alignment on that, on if you get pregnant, we're going to do this, then I got a box in the closet. Like, I'll go grab them. Like, because that's just me protecting myself. I'm not going to have a kid with a girl who, if I don't want the kid and she does, what am I going to do besides be a father now? Like, that's where I'm at. I'm not going to be a deadbeat. But that is like a conversation a lot of men don't want to hear. Is like, you had a choice. Your choice was, you got her pregnant. That is how sex works. You sent, like, to use biblical terms, your seed impregnates her.
Come on now. Let's talk about it.
Your choice is at the seed part. Her choice is at the there's two parts of it.
Yep.
And dudes don't want to hear that. So I agree with you guys. Like, saying be abstinent is the, like, abstinence only education and sex education doesn't even work. Like, that's actually the least effective way of stopping teen pregnancy. But you can say have safe sex. There's ways to approach this and educate people about having safer sex than they're having. Mm-hmm. And people aren't always going to hear that. Some people are just dumb. Like, I hate to say that, there's a bell curve of intelligence. Some people are on the back end of the curve. Like, it's just what it is. But like, you can prevent a lot of pregnancies with proper education and steps.
Yeah, a lot of times we can prevent unwanted children if we stop having sex with people that we don't want to have a child with.
What he said.
I know. I'm saying though.
No, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what he said. I'm saying that's what I'm saying.
I will say most of the time I've had sex in my life is with somebody I would not want to have a child with. But I'm just saying. Steps and precautions so that I would not have a child with that person. I was smart about it up front.
No, I feel you. No, I'm not saying, I'm just saying that a lot of times these jokers out here raw dogging a lot of people and then they sit back and say, I don't like my baby mama. I don't like, bro, you had an opportunity. You had a choice to make her your baby mama or not.
One of my favorite tweets is this dude was like, imagine if we got to choose our baby moms. And I was like, what?
You do. Come on, you got that choice, okay? And also too, I'm gonna say this too with some of us guys as well, because this is like, listen, as a Christian, okay, and this I told this to people all the time, as a Christian and everything, you know what the Bible says about having sex, but the main problem with a lot of us too is we don't have a relationship with God anyway. You may have a relationship with the rule, or a relationship to what you believe the Bible says, or what your family, the pressure of your community. But a lot of us don't have a relationship with God. And so a lot of times that's the main reason why y'all out here wilding out is because y'all don't really got a good enough relationship with him. But that's a whole nother discussion and topic. All right. Anyways, let's move on. Cause I want to end this kind of quickly today is I want to talk about, we're going to switch gears big. Switch gears entirely, and I want to end this podcast talking about the NBA because of how much I love it. I don't know if I think I love the NBA offseason more than I even love the season sometimes, because offseason it'd be fire. All right. So for some of you guys who don't know, the Golden State Warriors, my second team, they won the NBA championships. I was very happy. Steph Curry rightfully deserved his finals MVP. Should have got it in 2015. Another thing. Boo, boo. I know. We got Golden State Warrior here. We can talk about this. But yeah, so... So Steph Curry won. We all predicted Golden State winning the finals, right? I think we said that on the pod. I think we all predicted Golden State winning.
Yeah, I think I said I think I did Boston to win, but really wasn't realistic. And then I got excited after like two games, but it wasn't realistic. So
nah, that's not realistic, man. Steph Curry was like, I'm the champion now. Okay. And now he's feel like he's on a victory lap. I feel like I'm seeing so much of Steph Curry lately. Like, ever since he won that championship, he's been everywhere. Have y'all seen him? Like, he's been golfing. I guess he's going to be hosting the ESPYs. He's, like, everywhere now. I'm like, okay, cool. Good for you, man. Good for you. You won a
championship. In his bag now.
Yeah, and when that happened, I felt like there was an insecure man who felt in some type of way that Steph Curry won the championship. And so this dude named Kevin Durant decided he wanted to trade. He's like, dang. I mean, he's like my old boo, you know, looks better, dressed better, everything looked great. Now I want to leave this team. So, listen, man, how y'all feel about Kevin Durant, man, wanting to leave Brooklyn? Do you blame Kyrie? Which I would. I mean, he believes Earth is flat. So I'm just saying, how do y'all feel? Hey, Deshaun, you are the biggest KD hater. So tell me, how did that make you feel when he said he wanted to leave?
I felt like a victory. Felt like I won a championship. Because the net... All right,
You're so dumb, yo.
I don't like KD and I don't like Kyrie for different reasons. I don't like KD because he's kind of been a LeBron foil. So it's kind of like if you cheer for this one person, the foil naturally is going to be like some opposition there. And then also I didn't like him going to Golden State. I've said that for years. Both because it cost LeBron some rings. I think he could have won at least one more. But also because it made like the finals very not fun. It made the playoffs not fun to watch for a little bit.
It's like, very fun to watch.
Yeah, it's very fun to watch.
Awesome.
If you're a Warriors fan, all right, it was great basketball on one side of the basketball. But either way. So for him and Kyrie to join up, it's like the two people you hate the most start dating and you're like, dang, I'm preying on their downfall. I hope this ends in a toxic breakup. I can't wait to see how this burns out. And for it to end with Kyrie opting in for one more year, but not getting offered that extension, which made KD be like, look, we're a package deal. You either offer him the extension or I walk. Now we both want to get traded. I was like, oh, this is beautiful and toxic. And neither of y'all are going to win a ring wherever you go. Because nobody can give up the package necessary. There's no good team that can trade that the Nets will take the package for. Not saying they can offer the package. The Nets will take the package for it. They heat the ring if they get Kevin Durant, but the Nets will not take the deal unless you give them somebody like Bam or somebody, but that's not doable. It's not possible. So it's like he put the team in an impossible situation, and I was like, oh, this is beautiful. This is chaos. I love it. I like a little mess in my life. Yeah, that's how I felt when he asked for the trade, because I am a KD hater. I'm also a Kyrie. I hate Kyrie way more for different reasons, both as a LeBron foil after he left Cleveland, but also because he is the dumbest nigga who talks the most I've ever seen in my life.
What about for you, Xavier?
Deshaun be killing me, bro. Deshaun be having these whole wild spills with a straight face on, dog. Like, he'll be saying all this stuff. Nah, I'm serious. Like, y'all not gonna be able to see this, but OB, you got to post this clip so they can see Deshaun's face when he was saying, that boy's mad serious. And I'm like, nah, you wild.
So wild.
I feel like I hate Kyrie for a lot of reasons. Just because, like, I feel like, first off, I'm not gonna lie, the Nets undoing is mad funny. Like, they had to jump through hoops to get what they have right now. They had to jump through hoops. Like, when's the next time they get a first round pick? I don't even know, right?
I'll have a kid by that point. I'm gonna be a father by the time they get another first round pick, bro.
Bro, that's how I feel about the Lakers too, man. Lakers sent out all their first round picks too.
No pick. They better win a ring again because there's no picks.
They, they're not going to fall apart as far as like a dynasty, though. No time soon like the Nets are, though. Like, there's a lot of hold on. I mean, like, they're not playing well, but they're not going to lose every star player that they amassed over the last 2 years. Like, they're not going to have a mass exodus. That's what I mean. So they could still hold on to some stuff and wager some stuff. I mean, Lakers obviously got the budget because look at who they got on their team. All that to say. KD took the fattest L ever, right? Just because.
Bruh.
He took the fattest L ever. And I was right. The Nets did. Well, I mean, James Harden really didn't show up that well. But the Nets got the L end of the deal because, first off, Ben Simmons act like he's scared to play basketball. Second, What they had to give up. There's some stuff I can't say on here because I'm a counselor. I can't say some stuff. So I'm gonna comment on that comment after we get off this podcast because I can't say what I'm gonna say because if this gets out, I can get in trouble. I'm not gonna respond to that. All right, we go skate past that. I hope Ben Simmons gets the help he needs. All right, Deshaun, stop. Anyway, I'm gonna move on from Ben Simmons. Anyway, took an L. He didn't play no basketball, right? Then Kyrie, I'm not gonna slam Kyrie for his personal convictions. I'm not. But he really let that organization down. The consequences for that were so bad. And it was just tough. And by the time he got any kind of leeway, like, it was already too late. I really feel bad for KD in this situation because I feel like he took the fattest L out of everyone. I mean, the Nets organization about to fall hard. But that's going to be mad funny. Like, the hoops they jumped through to get those three players to end up ultimately going to be losing them all, like – y'all ain't gonna get a first round pick until Rowan has kids. Like,
bruh.
y'all stuff. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I think so. All that to say, let me stop playing. I think it's tough. Like you said, no team has the budget for a package deal.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you get Kyrie and KD, your chances of going farther do increase. You know what I'm saying? I think KD alone. I'm not gonna say Kyrie because Kyrie's low key a cancer.
Bro, Kyrie will sit back and say, bro, I don't know. I don't feel like coming into work today. Like, I just don't feel like it.
But, I mean, look at his track record, though, lately. Like, post-LeBron, he's been having a tough time. Like, he played well in Boston for a little bit. But
He did not play good in Boston.
Until he got hurt, he was playing.
For a little bit. Thank you, John.
It was disgusting. That second year? As a Kyrie hitter. It was amazing. He tried to guard Giannis in the playoffs. He said, "I clear out. I got him. Got cooks."
I seen this dude talk about he shot 8 for 22, right, in a playoff game, right? He said, "I ain't gonna never shoot as bad as this again." Bro shot 7 for 26 the next game or something. Bro, he really thought, "Hey, bro, I can leave LeBron and do my own thing and be the leader of a team." No, you cannot.
You can't. You're not built like that. And that's what made me start being a Kyrie hater. And it's only built from there because he keep doing dumb stuff.
Here's the truth. Kyrie got gassed because for a really part of like the early half of his career, he was around some really nice pieces that helped him look really, really good. Right. And so you could be one of the top assist leaders in the game when you can throw a lob to LeBron and he catches every single one. You know what I'm saying? When you have several people, like if we just talk about Cleveland by itself, being able to think about like he had a lot of pieces to bail him out. So now when he doesn't have those pieces and he has to be a true point guard and do something about it, you realize that, you got some dribble moves, but you can't even really do a whole lot with those dribble moves. Like I'm not going to lie, he's a magician with the ball, but not nearly enough to take over or to contribute enough. Kyrie as an all-star does not contribute enough to help his team win. Period.
They tried to tell me he was the most skilled player in like NBA history, and I was like, "Y'all, I hate numbers people too, so I get like that point. People, he be hooping. That's a good. That I get it, but there got to be some balance in your how you watch the game, bro. Like people think the most skilled is like Kobe taking all like bad shots and hitting a lot of them. or like Kyrie dribbling crazy. That's not all. That's not the only skills in basketball. Somebody says most skilled basketball.
Jimmy Butler taking that last shot at the end of the game.
Hey,
why? Come on, why you had to bring that up, dog?
But somebody told me like, yo, all right, what skill is Kyrie not the best at? And I was like, he's not the best. He's not the best 3-point shooter off the dribble. He's not the best shooter in general because Steph and Clay will beat him in any 3-point shooting category, whether it's spot up, off the dribble, around, off a cut, off a pin down, anything. It don't matter. So he's already losing that category. I was like, he's not the best passer. He's not a top 10 passer in the league right now, let alone in history.
Yeah.
I was like, he's not the best defender on the perimeter or
in
the post. And I was like, yo, even playing in the post is a skill. I was like, so is Jokic not skilled because he plays in the post? That footwork in the post is a skill, bro. Passing out of the post, outlet passes are skills.
Dwight Howard can never, bro.
Right. Like, there's centers who could never. You go play 2K right now and get Jokic and get double teamed and watch the assists you rack up. That same thing with Mitchell Robinson on the Knicks.
Yep.
He's throwing that ball out of bounds, bro, because those are skills. True. And people, because Kyrie can with the ball and then hit a layup sometimes, then he's the best, most skilled player ever because his game is pretty. And that's what I'm making. Max, I'm like, y'all don't watch basketball, and it annoys me.
Now, I'll say this: KD is a different story, though. He's a different story.
I'll explain my position and say, go ahead, finish it.
No, okay. I think KD is a very selfless player. I think he's a very selfless player. I think KD could fit in virtually any offense because KD knows he's gonna score high numbers because he's a freak, right?
Facts.
I don't think KD's cancerous. I think nobody can win by themselves. I think anywhere KD, goes will make playoffs. Anywhere KD goes, I think he'll make playoffs. You know what I mean?
Here's the problem with KD. KD is a great basketball player. He's a terrible leader.
But that's what I'm saying.
That's kind of why maybe it's because I unfairly compare him to LeBron. It's probably my thing because, like, to me, KD is like a sniper, right? He is like amazing at the offensive side of the ball. He's really, really good. Defensively, he can be lacking at times. He's not a great passer. That's what one thing Boston did very well on him is they really like, we're going to force you to be a passer. And when they forced him to be a passer, it was not good.
He had the nerve to argue with people on Twitter when they said you weren't passing out of doubles and that's not your best skill. And he was like, I'm good at everything. And I was like, no. All right, bro.
No, boy. You are not, bro.
You're right. But I feel like KD is a superstar player who plays like a role player. He plays like a role player, which is why I feel like he's so effective. Like, I feel like KD is consistent. You know what I'm saying?
When you say role player, what do you mean? Like he has a mentality of it? Like he doesn't have like a big ego? Like what do you mean?
I think KD is fine taking the back seat to stronger leaders. Like he's cocky as heck on everything else.
Yeah.
But I think when he's playing, I think KD will do what he has to contribute to the team winning. Now, with that being said, I'm not saying he's like he don't got Mamba mentality like Kobe or like LeBron.
Right.
He don't have that level, but he's going to score 30. You know what I'm saying? You can count on him scoring 30. He's not going to be like, give me the ball and watch what I do with it. He's not going to do that, but you can count on his offense contributing to you at least bottom line for points. And I think that's why he'll be good anywhere he goes, because if you're looking for just offensive power, he's going to give any team a huge boost. Because he's never been a problem anywhere that he's went. He's never been a problem.
But here's my thing with KD, though, is, like, I feel like he's only good. Like, the reason why he's great in Golden State is because he only had to worry about one thing, is being a good basketball player. Like, he literally was on, like, an already great team. It's the same thing, the issue I have with Kawhi, too. Like, Kawhi, he won that championship in Toronto because literally Toronto was already a team. All they did was literally add you. So, like, you didn't really have anything to say with helping anyone get better. You're not anything. All you did was, okay, I have my one job and my one position. I can do that. LeBron James, and this, like I said, I might be comparing him unfairly to LeBron, is I feel LeBron is better at, like, you can put him anywhere. He's like a Swiss Army knife. You can put him on any team, do anything, and he can do it all, right? Do everything you need. You need a rebound, he'll rebound. For you need a pass, he'll pass. But KD, I feel like he's only good at scoring. And like he has to have like everything has to be perfect for him in order to be successful. Like, and I feel like LeBron doesn't, he doesn't, it doesn't have to be perfect for him. Like KD had Russell, he had Steph and the whole Golden State squad. Wait, wait, what happened? Somebody came and attacked you? Looked like he saw a spider or a snake or something.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's a spider. I know X don't bang with spiders. That's the only thing. It's either that or Rowan is coming to throw up on him. I don't know.
I'm gonna say spider.
I thought it was a bee.
Oh, okay, bee.
I like a bee. I was like, why is there a bee in my house? It scared me. I killed his dad. Sorry, yo.
But what? does that make sense to Sean, what I'm saying with like the comparison with him and LeBron, or like is that?
Because there's a handful of guys who can be a number one on the team. It's not a lot of dudes. Like Steph can be a number one. He's proved it. Yeah. LeBron can be a number one. I think Jokic and Giannis right now are dudes who can be a number one. Embiid hasn't really proved it to me yet. Like he's a number one, but he has not proven to me that he can like lead a team and like dominate in that way. That'll make the team better. You know what I mean? Like he'll dominate.
Hey, I love him though. I need to beat them like every year in the second round. That's why I need him to stay how he is.
Because Bam be locking him up.
I love it. I love it so much.
He hasn't been past the second round, so I can't, you know what I mean? Jokic has not been past the second round. I don't know. He went to the conference finals once, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once.
I think it was in the bubble too, but whatever. You know, everybody played in the bubble. I'm not gonna argue that up or down. And he had Jamal Murray hurt this year, and he still won an MVP and carried them to like a 5 seed. And I know, Shelton, you weren't in agreement for him being MVP, but like the fact that he's in the conversation with nobody. Look, as a Magic fan, I watched Aaron Gordon, and I know Aaron Gordon's trash. I watched him play for years. But yeah, either way, there's not a lot of dudes who can be a number one option on the team. Like,
yeah,
we've seen Dame's tried to do it for years, and he can't elevate a bunch of role players to that level. Like,
he's guys not that dude. Dame is not that dude either, and we don't want to say that because we like him. But
Kevin Durant might go down as like one of the best number twos ever. You know what I mean?
That's my point.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying
he's a better number two than Scotty. Like he's a better scorer than Scotty, and like he's not as good a defender, but he's a solid defender for his body and size. Like he's a weird body type to be a good post and perimeter defender. Like KD has amazing skills. I don't hate on him because he's bad. Like it'd be boring to, as I told Xavier about the Magic. It's not fun to hate on bad people. It's not fun to hate when you're bad. It's not fun to hate on KD if he's trash. Like I want it's fun to watch him battle it out, and I'm cheering for him to lose, but it's still fun because it's a battle. You know what I mean?
Like that's what I was saying.
That Celtics sweep was close. Every game was close. It wasn't blowouts.
Bro, I don't want to hit. Bro,
hold on. But that's why I'm saying that KD is a superstar level role player. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
like he's not. He doesn't have the moxie. I don't know to be able to like. To take over and take the team to the championship. Like he can't do that.
Double skill. You don't know how to, I don't know what to call it, but he don't have it.
Yeah. I got a dumb trade idea. I got a really dumb trade idea. Tell me if how stupid this is. Kevin Durant for Anthony Davis.
Why?
I think the Lakers would do it only because AD can't stay healthy, but the Nets would be throwing up. Like
it'd be good for the Lakers.
Yeah.
It'd be good for the Lakers. No, wait, hold on. That's a terrible trade.
But how about you trade Russell as well?
Okay.
For Kyrie.
Okay.
So you get Kyrie and KD on the Lakers, and you trade Russell and Anthony Davis.
Okay. I think Russell and Anthony Davis for KD is a good trade.
I'm gonna look up one stat real fast, Sheldon. Hold on.
Okay.
But I think when you're talking about pound for pound, AD does not match KD at all.
No. I'm just saying that I think it might be a good trade for both teams. Because I feel like
he's not gonna play in Brooklyn.
You think LeBron and KD could work with Kyrie?
That would be the most Twitter fingers team of all time. Maybe win a ring, but it would be the most toxic work environment because it's three dudes who are so passive aggressive. It'd be so annoying to watch them like off court stuff.
They would argue
without arguing. They'd be subtweeting each other. It'd be the worst. Kyrie would be tweeting eyeball emojis, like not the two eyes, the one eye, like the third eye.
Yeah.
Kyrie tweeting like the one eye and be like, y'all don't know.
hashtag K11, whatever he be tweeting. Like, it would be the worst experience. It'd be hilarious. They'd
win, though.
Oh, they might win a ring. Like, there's a good chance they'd win a ring. Like,
but nobody gonna let them live that down, though.
Yeah,
no one's gonna let Kyrie or KD live that down.
It might hurt LeBron's legacy, honestly. Like, they'd be like, "Yo, you had to bring in all the." It'd be the same argument with like the. It'd be worse than the Anthony Davis deal or the Heat thing. Like, you had to bring in Kyrie and Kevin Durant. Like, honestly, and I, as a LeBron fan, I don't want him to get Kyrie and KD a ring. No, earn your own. Get your own.
Y'all can't, KD, you can't just be hopping around on people's teams and just getting piggybacks. Stop.
That reminds
me. Do yourself.
Shelton, I got a question for you. I'm going to be host for 1 second.
Okay, go ahead.
Shelton, what would you, because you know the Heat were in the rumors.
Yeah.
What would you give up for just Kevin Durant alone? 4 years of KD. I mean, he is like 34 years old. It's old KD. He only played 55 years because of injuries. What would you, if you're the GM of the Heat, if you're Pat Riley, I don't know who the actual GM is, but
who
would you trade for Kevin Durant?
Okay, so my initial offer would be Kyle Lowry, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, I think we have 2 to 4 first round picks that we can give them. That would be my initial offer. If they reject that one, I'll let them sit on it for a while. If they reject it, I would put Bam in the deal, keep Tyler Hero. But then I would either trade, I would either find a third team because, you know, Bam and Ben Simmons can't be on the same team together. So I'd find a third team for Ben Simmons, or I would counter with saying, give us Ben Simmons.
So okay, so to have Kevin Durant, you would do Ben Simmons for Bam to get Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Okay, I respect it. I thought you were gonna be because look, I don't have a lot of hometown players that I like wouldn't give up. I'd give up almost anybody except for Paolo right now because
bro, I told you I'd give up my grandma for Kevin Durant.
Like, what do I have? But I have seen a lot of teams or not teams fans, not teams, but I've seen a lot of fans be like, yo. Like the Timberwolves, they said, yo, you got to give us Kat and Anthony Edwards, which is an insane deal to make. But like Timberwolves fans were like, no, bro, like we love Anthony Edwards. Like we want to watch him grow here. Like I would rather not win a ring and get to watch Anthony Edwards develop is what Wolves fans said. Or same thing with like, who else was it? I saw Warriors, I saw Suns. There was somebody else who had like young players. It was Cleveland and Toronto. Toronto was like, yo, we're not giving up Scottie Barnes. He's one rookie of the year. We believe in him. We want the long term. And I get it.
I would have let him go. Sorry.
He's only been there for a year. So I'd be like, yo.
I don't give a rip. He would have been gone. Sorry. And I
understand, like, you can't have Siakam. I'm like, Siakam can go. Bye. Nice knowing you. But I do get if a player's been young on your team for like 3, 4, 5 years, like Devin Booker on the Suns, even though they're not going to win a ring as currently constructed, I see fans being like, yo, we don't trust the Kevin Durant experience enough. This is not trading for a guarantee. It's not Steph or LeBron or Giannis. This is not a guaranteed ring. So I'm giving up my future and a player I've watched develop for maybe a ring. And I'm like, I see it.
And he's temperamental because you know he could very well next year say the same thing. Right. I want to get traded.
Another trade.
Yeah.
Like
That's why I was saying with KD. Notice I didn't say you get a ring. I said you get one round, you get maybe 2 rounds extra.
Yeah.
And that's if you're not even going.
That's true.
I didn't say a ring. Because you're right. You only paid 55 games last year.
Because like we all watched him against the Bucks that year where he should have beat the Bucks, but his foot was on that line. It was. The worst luck I've ever seen.
Long old foot.
And his shoes are a size too big, but he likes it like that. That's just bad luck. Like, hey, it is what it is. If Kyrie or James Harden was playing, like, was Harden on that team yet?
James Harden was on the team. He wasn't really on the team. Right, brother was a shell of himself. Like,
he was nothing. But if Kyrie plays, maybe they beat the Bucks that year. But that's the last time we saw KD be the Kevin Durant that we like. Because people are like, are you trading for Kevin Durant? Or are you trading for what Kevin Durant is right now? And that's different. Like, he's 34.
That's a good point.
He hasn't played, I think it's like 50 games or 50, 60 games. He hasn't played more than like 60 games in like 3 or 4 years. He's had injuries. But like, you're going to get hurt. You're old. Like, I said this a bunch of times because like LeBron, to me, gets like unfair like critique at this age because like he's been in the league. This is year 20 for him, about to be, which is insane. he's redefined age for us in a way that's not fair. Like, Chris Paul collapsed in the playoffs. Chris Paul's like 36 years old. Like, he's not supposed to be elite anymore. Kevin Durant's 34. He's not Steph Curry's not supposed to be this elite anymore. He's 34.
That's true. Yeah.
Curry went crazy in the playoffs, and I'm like, he's not supposed to be this good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, technology has changed and health medicine, sports medicine, to where people are playing longer. But when a dude is like Carmelo at 35, 36, 37, and he's not elite anymore, they're like, oh, he's a bum now. Westbrook, too, it's like, yo, he's old. He's not
supposed to be.
He's not 25, like, but our brains don't, like, we've been reconditioned in a way that's not fair. So Kevin Durant, I'm like, you are 34, bro. I don't know if you're going to give me 60. And in 4 years, what you going to give me in year four of that deal?
Mm-hmm. And also, too, the reason for the Heat, we're a little bit more desperate because Jimmy, I think, is 33. So, like, we might only have a good year or two left of Jimmy. So that's why, like, they're more willing to, like, hey, let's go all in and try to get a ring in these next couple years, because we were literally one shot away from being in the finals two out of the last 3 years, right? So it's just one of those things that if I'm GM, I am not putting Bam in the deal until, like, late. Like, maybe I would say right before the trade deadline, something crazy like that. It would have to take, because as a negotiator, you're literally saying you ain't got much options, Brooklyn. Like, you literally have Phoenix, who they can actually literally get out of the deal if they end up Ayton ends up going to the Pacers. Because if the Pacers end up signing him, that was their piece. They're trying to do like a sign and trade thing to go to Brooklyn, but Brooklyn's like, we don't want him. So it's like a whole like chicken and mouse thing that Brooklyn is trying to do right now, because they're like, we want two all-stars. What?
The Nets are crazy. They're asking for, they want either like two all-stars, or they want back one to two elite young talents plus picks. And I'm like, y'all think y'all trading like, you think you're trading like 2016 Steph Curry. You think you're trading like 2012 LeBron, and that's not what you're, this is not the goal. Like, and I will say that Gobert trade messed up the market, because Gobert, the Timberwolves super overpaid, but it messed the market up, because now the Nets are like, well, if they can get four picks and get off a bunch of young, like, bad contracts for, or get out, like, get a bunch of young players, maybe not elite young players, but young players for Gobert, Kevin Durant's way better than that. We can get seven, but you're not going, no one's giving y'all that.
And you know what's even worse than that? Right now, they're trying to trade Donovan Mitchell. And yeah, because of the Rudy Gobert trade, they want something comparable to what they just got.
And look, I like Donovan Mitchell.
But come on, bro.
And honestly, and Gobert, even though I think some of them are fraudulent, at least he got Defensive Player of the Year awards. Like, he got some stuff behind his name. Donovan Mitchell ain't got none of that, besides a couple All-Star appearances. Mm-hmm. Like,
but I want him in Miami. If they, listen, bro, I would trade some people for him. Yep. Honestly, I think him and Jimmy could do well together.
Yeah, I think.
And I think Brooklyn got to really lower it down. You got to think about what it does to the morale of the team also. Like, I know that sounds real fishy, but think about what it does to the morale of the team, knowing that KD and Kyrie both was trying to slide. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, it's ugly in training camp.
Listen, you know, do they go to training camp? That's another question. Do they go?
Kyrie sits out. I don't think Kevin Durant sits out, though. I don't think he's built to give up a career the way Kyrie don't care about none of this.
I don't see the Nets with their current team. I don't see the Nets going to playoffs next year. I don't see it. They don't even make it first round.
But what sucks is if they don't, they don't even get a good draft pick out of it. Oh,
look. They don't have no first, bro. None. It's crazy because the Nets have done this before. They did this with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, but which was worse, because at least they got a couple like deep playoff runs. Well, one deep playoff run out of KD and Kyrie. But like the Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, you traded the farm for nothing, for old niggas, and they didn't win anything. And then they had no picks for years. They finally rebuilt it. They had Jared Allen. They had
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Spencer Dinwiddie. They had Kenny Atkinson coaching. They had Caris LeVert. They had young pieces that were like, yo, we built something out of nothing. Mm-hmm.
And when Kenny Atkinson heard Kyrie said, "We don't even need a coach," he said,
"Hey, KD's coming here from Golden State. I'm gonna go to Golden State and be an assistant coach and win some more rings." And guess what he did? Won another ring as an assistant coach.
Exactly.
It's like, I can't believe KD and Kyrie are the two, like, this is the most, it's like the two most toxic people you know coming to the party. And it's like, bro, they both come in. If one of them comes, it's like, all right, we could deal with it. He might get a little drunk and throw up. We got to deal with that. But they both, they've been a box if they both come.
I think it's been underestimated, like, how terrible the Nets organization is about to be. Like, they are literally in a lose-lose situation. Like, nothing from this is going to be pretty. Like, they just, Kyrie and KD literally just destroyed an entire franchise. Yeah. Like, they just destroyed it. They're about to be the Utah Jazz of, like.
Well, I'll say Russell Westbrook, he's been destroying every franchise he's been on. I've never seen a man.
True.
I've never seen a man destroy.
Hold on, he took the Wizards to the playoffs. Hey, he did, though. I'm not saying they were good. I'm saying he took them.
You know what? You know what? I'll give you that. He did take him to the he did. And you know, and you see my man Bradley Beal. That Joker will not leave.
He said chase a check over everything. I don't care.
5 years, 250, I think. 5 years, $250 million.
See, and that's, the Wizards are a team that I look at every once in a while, and I'm like, as a Magic fan, we've been bad for like 8-9 years. We had a couple first round playoff like sweeps and, you know, gentlemen sweeps or whatever. We could be the Wizards, because the Wizards in the last like 40 years, I think, have not won, like, gone past the second round, or 50 years. Like, their playoff drought is different than ours. Well, at least we went to the finals and got swept twice, but we went. I have something to cheer for, bro. Like, there's some teams out here that I'm like, y'all be sneaking under the radar because no one cares about y'all.
Sacramento. But, like,
franchises are
Sacramento is a bad team.
Sacramento is filthy, and nobody cares.
Memphis just getting out of the gutter.
Yeah.
Memphis trying to hide, but y'all just getting out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Memphis has never been to a finals. Now, I will say the grit and grind Grizzlies were fun, kind of.
They had something.
They always had a thing to cheer for, which is something. Mm-hmm. I remember Bomani Jones said, like, when you fly into the airport in Memphis, they got, it's not Z-Bo, although him too, he's big, but it was somebody else. They got, like, Tony Allen, like, on a poster in the airport to this day. Tony Allen's not a Hall of Famer, but he's gonna get his jersey retired out in Memphis. That's something. You know what I mean? They have something to cheer for.
Hey, you got to give him that, man. For a little bit of time, they were actually something. They were something serious for a little bit of time. Tony Allen, Mark Gasol. Oh, yeah, Detroit. But Detroit actually won a ring, though. They won a ring in my lifetime. Yeah. I'll give them that.
They won two right before all of us were born, right? 80, yeah, none of us were born in 90. They won those back-to-backs.
Yeah, I wasn't I wasn't live around that time when they won.
Yeah, I would say, because I know X is 91. Shelton, what are you, 91?
91 too, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, so they won two before we were born. And then they won one when we were kids. They got that one.
Yeah, that one. I remember that. Chauncey ring. Billups, Rasheed
Chauncey, Wallace. Yeah, Rasheed.
Yeah, Tayshaun Prince, Ben Wallace. Who else was on that team? Richard Hamilton. Yep.
Yeah, a weird defensive team. But they
Rip.
They caught the Lakers at the end of a three-peat. Like, you wasn't going to win four in a row.
No. But they had a good squad that one year, man. They had a good squad.
They could have drafted Carmelo that year, too. It's crazy.
Bro, do you know this? Bro, we need to do, like, a draft of, like, what could have been. Like all these drafts of what could have been. Because I think about this all the time. We picked Justice Winslow. And y'all like, who? Exactly. We picked Justice Winslow over Devin Booker, bro. We could have had Devin Booker on the Heat.
So you don't want to hear about the Orlando Magic draft history.
Thank you. I was going to say, now can I do it?
Go ahead.
Can we talk about Amari Stoudemire? Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Look.
How could have had Amari? When? What year was this?
I think we traded out of the Amari Stoudemire pick in 2005.
That's what happened.
No, bro, come on. That can't be real.
Because Dwight Howard was before, 2005.
Wait, when was Amari was in? What year was Amari? Yeah.
I'm going to double check it, but I think it was 05. It's 05 or 06.
Got you. All right, guys.
I don't remember the exact year.
We're going to keep talking about the We about to keep talking about the NBA as we do. But you know, I thank you for listening to this podcast. If you pick anything from this, man, listen, we all just want America to be better. We want people to be healed. We want equality and equity for all. That's what we want. Maybe have different ways of getting to that, but that's what we really want. But we also love the NBA, man. We can't only talk about serious things. We have things that brings us joy. All right. Thank you for listening. This is Weird Pastor Kid podcast.